Independent Business Podcast is brought to you by Honeybook, the all-in-one platform for anyone with clients. Book clients, manage projects, and get paid faster, all with Honeybook. You can use the code podcast to get 20% off your brand new account and let business flow your way. Tax season is upon us, and there is no doubt that filing your taxes can be a stressful time as an independent business owner. In fact, 62% of business owners reported that they had to learn how to do their taxes on their own. So today on the show, we are sitting down with Brittany Settle, who is a CPA and founder of Kinese & Co., a virtual CPA firm. Her mission is to make money more approachable for independent business owners. Brittany gives us a tax season roadmap to help us better prepare and money-saving strategies we need to be implementing. Now let's get into the episode. Hey everyone, this is your host, Akua Kanadu, and you're listening to the Independent Business Podcast. More people than ever are working for themselves and building profitable businesses in the process. So on this show, I get to sit down with some of the most influential authors, entrepreneurs, and creators to break down the science of self-made success so that you can achieve it too. Hello, hello, Brittany. How are we doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, as wonderful as a tax preparer in the middle of tax season can be.
I mean, the struggle is real. I mean, this is our favorite time of year, right? Preparing for taxes. But this is why we wanted you here, just to be able to essentially equip us on just having a really great tax strategy and also being able to file our taxes as smoothly as possible, because we just know that there's always so many changes every year when we go into taxes. So appreciate you so much for being here.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I love, it's much easier on our end of things too. If everyone's organized, they know like what they can do, what they need to provide. So happy to provide that information to everyone.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's just get into it. So what are some updates that independent business owners need to know when filing their taxes this year?
Yeah, so there's no, I would say, major updates for 2023 as there have been in the past, especially, you know, we've just been through like a very strange period with the pandemic and all of the different tax laws and stimulus programs that went into effect. Some of those have kind of, you know, we've come to the end of those. So really the major changes with 2023, especially if we're talking about small business owners, the major one really is that meals used to be 100% deductible if you went to a restaurant, because they were trying to promote people to go back to restaurants, since restaurants took a very big hit during the pandemic. And now that has kind of ended. So those are kind of back to the 50% deduction. Other than that, really, it's, you know, we have higher standard deductions, higher tax bracket limits, but nothing too crazy for this year, which is semi-good. It makes things a little bit easier.
I was going to say, like, a huge wave of relief.
for us as well.
Yeah. 62% of independent business owners say that they have had to learn how to do their own taxes themselves, which, you know, was a very surprising number to me. Mm-hmm. But and I'm sure there's going to be a large amount of independent business owners who are going to be doing their taxes again this year. So yeah. What are some mistakes that you see business owners make when it comes to filing our taxes?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones, and it's not even really tax related, it's more bookkeeping related, and it's not ensuring that what you're reporting is correct. So we prepare tax returns for a lot of clients where we don't do their bookkeeping. And I always go in and kind of do like a cursory audit just to make sure everything looks reasonable. And what I find is a lot of times business owners are not reconciling their bank accounts. And basically what that means is they're not ensuring that what they're reporting or what they're seeing as their checking, savings, credit card balance is tying to what's on the statements. So if you have something like QuickBooks, you should be able to see what your checking account balance is as of December 31st in QuickBooks. That should tie or be very close to what is on your December bank statement. If it's not, what that means is you are either overstating or understating revenue or vice versa with expenses. So we've caught where clients have been duplicating revenue. They are missing expenses. I mean, it can cause a true like tax burden. Like it could mean something to you. It could be where you are now reporting more in income than you should, paying more in taxes to the IRS in your state, which we all know we don't want to do, right? We want to keep the money in our hands. So that honestly is like the biggest thing where I see the biggest impact to small business owners is they're not ensuring that their numbers are correct. And then aside from that, it's not knowing fully what you can deduct and making sure those items are, you know, on your tax return.
So something that I want to add to that is the deductions, right?
Yes.
What are some overlooked deductions, I guess, that we just aren't seeing as independent business owners? Because it's like, I'm all about saving my money, honey, okay? Because right. IRS already gets enough. Right. They get enough from me.
Exactly. I will pay my fair share, but nothing more. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. And the tax code is really, I mean, it's there to promote certain activities, right? And there are loopholes and there are this, that, or the other. And we want to, if we can take advantage of it, like let's take advantage of it, right? So some things that are overlooked. One, if you have a home office, some people forget to add the home office deduction, which you can take one of two ways. You can do the simplified method, which is really just take the square footage of your home office space times $5. You get that as a deduction. It's capped at $1,500. Or you can take the actual cost of your entire home, apply whatever percentage of the total home square footage is your office space. So for simplicity's sake, let's say your office is 100 square feet, your home is 1,000. You'd have 10% of your actual expenses. That could be a deduction. It's a very easy one to just basically tack on at the end of the year. If you're a sole proprietor, single member LLC, you just kind of add that onto your tax return when you're filing and you get a deduction for it. Other things related to that, cell phones. So if you are using your cell phone in your business, you can allocate a portion of that to business use and deduct that. So there's no hard and fast calculation as to determine how much is business use. You just have to make it reasonable for what you're doing in your business and personal life and how much you're using it for each. But you can then deduct that. Same with your home internet. It can be split between business and personal. Put the business use on your tax return. And then any mileage you drive for your business. And a lot of people do not track this, and I get it because it's kind of tedious to track, but it can really add up. You can get in 2023 is 65.5 cents per mile that you drove for business use. And that can be if you're going to meet a client. It could be if you're going to Target to pick up office supplies, if you have to go to the post office, like those types of things. And it really does add up. So those are some of the most missed items because it's not necessarily cash that we are expending out of our business, right? It's just all this stuff that we're spending money on in the background in our personal lives that also has a business purpose. So those are the ones I think that are missed the most.
A question that I have too, just to add on to that is, especially like with mileage, right? Like it's so difficult to track a lot of these things and then it sucks because when it's time for taxes, then you have to backtrack everything. Yeah. So do you have any strategies of like how we can be consistently updating these things? So then again, when it's tax time, we're not, you know, stressed over the details. Because again, you're thinking in your mind when you're doing it, essentially before you do it, of like, oh yeah, this isn't going to add up, but it does add up, especially if you're trying to save, right? To try as much possible to keep your money.
Absolutely.
So do you have any strategies on that?
Yeah, I would say number one is make sure that you have a set time either each month or each quarter where you're sitting down and updating your books, you're updating and just reflecting like all of those expenses so that it's not the end of the year and you have this huge mountain to climb, right? And then also utilize software. I mean, software AI is there for a reason. There's mileage tracking software. MileIQ is a good one. If you're a QuickBooks client, they have mile tracking software within their app. So just find different things like that that make your life a lot easier.
Yes, I think that's a good reminder of like leaning into the software that you have because I am like, yeah, QuickBooks does absolutely have that. The person, the individual who did my taxes back in the day, because like, for example, I don't live in a home. So this could be other business owners who maybe live in an apartment. So I was told that if you live in a one bedroom apartment, you cannot deduct an office, correct?
Not correct.
No. Okay.
You can't deduct like the whole bedroom. But if you have, let's say you have like your desk sitting in a space, like you can deduct that square footage of it.
Okay.
You just can't, let's say you have a guest bedroom in your house, and that's where your office space is as well. You can't take that full guest bedroom and consider that an office because you're using it for personal purposes as well. You can only use the square footage of where your desk is. So it does limit your home office deduction, right? Because the square footage will be much smaller, but it doesn't negate you from taking that.
Yeah, so I think the point is like it's still possible. So yes. I just wanted to ask that because essentially for me, but yes, like I guess it essentially it's like your space, right? That you can absolutely use that as a deduction. Yes. And so can you just share with us just your tax season roadmap? Like as a business owner, how should we be preparing to file our taxes this year, whether we are working with somebody or whether that we're doing it on our own?
Yeah. So again, get your books really clean. So what I mean by that is make sure you have all of your income listed, all of your expenses. Do not count. One of my pet peeves is where people rely on getting 1099s in order to determine how much income they earned. Don't do that. Like you should be tracking your income based on, you know, deposits, money you've received, invoices you sent throughout the year. So make sure you have a full list of your income, all of your expenses categorized, right? You can pull up a Schedule C online and see what the categories are there. And if you have any categories that are kind of like outside of that, you can always tack them on under other business expenses. But that'll get your business income really organized. And then what I like to do with everything else, if I receive something electronically, a tax form of some sort, maybe a W-2, I'll have a 2023 tax documents folder on my computer, and I'll just put everything in there so that it's all there and organized. Anything that I receive in the mail, you can see, I'll just pull it out right here because I've got it really close. I've got tax documents folder, and that way I just put it there and then I'll scan it all when it's time for taxes and it's all there and organized. So, because you get things from like 12,000 different places, right? When it comes to tax season, there's just a lot. So it's good to just keep it all like organized in one spot so that you have it there when you're ready to prepare your tax return or provide it to your tax preparer.
I think it just goes to show that, again, like finances in our business, like we just need to be consistently updating, consistent. Like I check my bank account every day. I don't do anything else. Like, I mean, I do. I don't do it as regularly, but I think this is a good reminder to, especially with your finances, just to stay on top of it so that when tax season rolls around, like you are prepared and equipped to move forward. Yes. Let's talk about like business structures, right? You got your sole proprietors, you have your LLC, you have your S Corp. How do business owners essentially, because I've heard this too, is that like your S Corp is a great way to, I guess, save money more so on your taxes. Yeah. But what are some of your thoughts essentially of like finding the right business structure for your own business? Mm-hmm. And then what about if you want to change? What are some things that you need to be thinking about of like maybe I do want to go to an S Corp?
Yes, yes. So let's just go through what the different entities are and yeah, pros, cons, all that good stuff. And then we'll kind of circle back. So you do have sole proprietor, which is essentially you're just kind of opening your doors, you're open for business, you haven't necessarily registered with the state or anything, you're probably operating under your social security number, you don't have a separate like tax ID, EIN for your business. All of that income and expense is reported on your personal tax return under what's called a Schedule C. That's where you report all your business income and expenses. Very, very simple, very easy. The con to that is you have no protection if someone were to sue you, meaning that if, let's say, I had a client sue me, they could go after my personal assets, not just my business assets, which would be home, car, you know, checking account, that kind of thing. Like they could take me for everything that I'm worth. So easy to set up because you don't really have to set up anything, but you're kind of leaving the doors open to be sued. Now, for some industries that aren't really sue happy, not a big deal. But for others, it may mean that being an LLC is the better option. And what an LLC is a limited liability company. You are taxed the same way as you are as a sole proprietor under an LLC. The only difference is you now have this veil of protection where if someone were to sue you, they couldn't go after your personal assets. They could go after your business assets and anything that's in the business, but you yourself personally are protected. So if you have a high net worth or a lot of assets personally, getting an LLC usually makes sense. Now, you also have to look at what state you're in, because LLCs, so you're registering with your state, and then you have to pay either annual or biannual fees to your state. Some states, it's very minimal. So here in Indiana, it's like $30 every 2 years. California, it's $800 per year. So you have to weigh like the cost benefit of that as well, because it's much more significantly expensive to be an LLC in California versus a state like Indiana. So that's really the only difference, is you get that protection with an LLC. Everything else is similar. Now with an S-Corp is actually like a tax election. It's not a business entity structure. So if you're an LLC, you can make the election to be an S-Corp. And what that means is you will just be taxed differently. So with an S-Corp, you will have to set yourself up as an employee if you are actively working in the business, and you will receive wages. Those wages get hit with income and self-employment taxes. The remaining profit on your business will just get hit with income taxes, no self-employment taxes. So you get a big savings by not having to pay self-employment taxes on that profit. Because for LLCs and for sole proprietors, you're paying the full income tax and self-employment tax on everything that you're earning. So for an S-Corp, there's potentially huge tax savings there. It's a little bit detailed, and being an S-Corp is more expensive because you have to file a separate tax return. You have to get set up on payroll, have a payroll provider. You typically have to have better records, so you probably need to have a bookkeeper or some kind of accounting software. So there is a kind of like break-even point where it's like, okay, it makes sense versus it doesn't. And I tell people, if you're thinking about going to, thinking about electing to be an S corporation, you want to talk with your CPA or a CPA to see if it makes sense for you.
I love how you broke down each one individually, because I think it also speaks to like people's stages in business, right? Like you're Absolutely. A sole proprietor, you're just starting out, mm-hmm. Obviously like LLC, but then also to an S corp. But I think, again, you have to ask yourself some serious questions of if you want to transition into S corp, because obviously there's a lot of things that go in there, but there can be some major tax benefits. But what questions should we be asking ourselves, or should we be examining to determine like maybe I do want to transition into an S corp?
Yeah. So I typically say when you want to bring this to a CPA's attention is when the taxable profit of your business. So if you look at your tax return from the prior year, you'll see like a bottom line taxable profit number on your Schedule C. When that number is going to be $20,000 to $30,000 more than a reasonable wage that you would pay yourself, that's when I think you need to have the discussion of, does this make sense? So for example, let's say you're a photographer and a reasonable wage for the work that you do in your business would be $50,000 per year. So if someone else was doing what you were doing in your business, you would pay them roughly $50,000. So when you start making and showing taxable profit of $70,000 to $80,000, that's when you want to have that conversation. Because again, at that point, your tax savings will more likely than not offset the additional costs that you'll have of the additional tax return, the payroll processing fees, so on and so forth.
So helpful, because I'm like, Hey, you can't just like switch to an S corp. Like these are the things you have to have in place.
And I've had a lot of clients who they've come to me and their prior CPA switched them to an S corp, and I've been like, it was not the right time for you. And so sometimes they're incurring more costs than the benefit they're receiving from being an S corp.
Okay, got it. Because I think sometimes too, like I said, I've heard like S corps can absolutely give you like great tax breaks, but it's like if mm-hmm. your business isn't even there, and obviously with the additional costs, it may not work out. Right. But I think that just goes to show, as business owners, like really take the time to figure out which business structure works best for you with your income and what stage of business that you're in before transitioning structures. Right. So a question that I want to add on to is essentially, what tax tips do you have for us to where, you know, just where it really helps create financial success in our business? Like what strategies can we do to maximize our tax efforts?
Yeah. So one of the big ones is obviously moving to an S corp. If you are there, it's one of the best ways to not have to spend more money or invest more cash to save in taxes, because almost everything else, you actually have to spend money to get tax savings. So an S corp is a great way, but again, don't do it until your business is ready for it. keep that in mind. Another way is self-employed retirement plans. Those are fantastic. So everyone knows of like 401ks, right? If you're an employee of a business, they typically offer 401ks. Wonderful. Well, for self-employed individuals, there's also tax beneficial retirement plans where you can get tax deductions for the contributions to those. And for self-employed individuals, those plans actually have much higher, or the potential to have much higher contribution limits than what employees get with their typical 401k plans. So like for 2023, I think it's upwards of 60,000 is the limit that you could put into a retirement plan, which if you can do that, kudos to you. I am not to where I'm reaching the $60,000 limit yet, but if you can, it's great for tax savings. But I would say, especially as entrepreneurs, what I see a lot is that we're really focused on our salary in our business, which really should be step one, right? We want to pay ourselves. Then it's tax savings. And then retirement kind of comes as like an afterthought. But we do need to consistently be thinking about retirement savings as entrepreneurs, because we probably can't be doing what we're doing forever, at least at the level that we're doing it. So we have to have a plan in place. So we can't just put it on the back burner for 10 years. I understand putting it on the back burner for a couple of years, especially as you're getting your business off the ground, you're trying to grow and make money and pay yourself a decent salary so you can live. But don't forget to invest in retirement. And when you do, those self-employed retirement accounts are fantastic. The other big one for people with children is you can actually hire your children in your business, pay them wages, and their wages will essentially be tax-free up to a certain point if they're like 17 and under. There are stipulations with that, and there's a lot that goes with it. So again, if you want to do that, talk with your CPA. But it's a great way to move money from your higher tax bracket to basically a 0% tax bracket. And in doing that, you can essentially basically have money where, okay, you pay maybe, let's say, 25% taxes on that. You move it to them, they pay 0% taxes. And then you can still use that on things that you would have spent money on anyways, like maybe summer camps, or maybe, you know, a 529 college plan, whatever. You can still use that money. It's just now it's kind of tax-free funds. Now you actually have to hire your kids. They need to be doing work. So for instance, I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. They ain't doing much for taxes for me. The only thing they could really do at this point is like model for the business, and they can't sit still long enough to model. So we aren't utilizing this strategy yet, but it's something in the future. My husband and I have talked about, like, we have real estate investments. It's something we would love for them to get involved with and pay them through, and then we get the tax breaks there. And on top of that, they get really good. You know, I love when people hire kids in their business because they get the behind the scenes of what running a business really looks like. I also think it's important for kids to like work for someone else, but to work for you as well, just so that they can see like what it really takes to be an entrepreneur.
I love that. I don't have kids, but just the fact that you talked about like that is brilliant. Yeah. I'm sure there's many parents listening where like the wheels are already turning instantly. Yes. Like, I'd never heard of that, and I think that's fantastic. And yeah, to your point, it's just like a great way for kids just to see what they like and what they don't like, you know, what it is truly what it takes to be a business owner. And that's such a great tax strategy. And same thing too with the retirement. So just to add on that, in terms of retirement, what are some ways as business owners where we can, like you said, investing in certain retirement accounts, like which one? I know I've heard of Roth IRA. I know there's, did I say that right? Yeah, you did. Oh yeah. I gave it to somebody. I'm like, I don't know. Just tell me where to put it. And so anyways, but what I guess the question that I'm asking alongside of that is like, how does that work with tax benefits? Are there other accounts too that we can look into as well to get like more bang for our buck, I guess, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So there's a couple of retirement accounts outside of the self-employed retirement accounts that you can contribute to whether you have a business or not. So one of those is the Roth IRA. And with that one, you contribute post-tax funds, meaning you've already paid tax on it. You contribute it to this fund. It'll grow tax-free when you take those funds out in retirement, tax-free. Like, you don't have to pay taxes on them again. If you make contributions to a Roth IRA, you don't get any tax deductions on your tax return in the year that you contribute to them. So keep that in mind. Traditional IRAs are the other option. It's kind of reverse. So with traditional IRAs, you get a tax deduction when you make those contributions. So you're kind of putting in pre-tax money and then it's growing, but then you have to pay taxes on it, on whatever you pull out in retirement. So it's kind of like the flip. So traditional IRA, you get the tax deduction. Roth IRA, you don't. So I typically tell small business owners, that's kind of where you want to start. You want to max those out. So for 2023, it was like 6,000, I think maybe 6,500. Sorry, I don't know the exact. There's a lot of numbers running through my head at this moment because of tax season. So I apologize. I don't have these memorized. But for 2023, it was like 6,000 and some dollars. And you can still contribute to those up until you file your tax return. So keep that in mind. If you're listening to this, you haven't filed your 2023 tax return, you can still make those contributions for the 2023 tax year. So small business owners, I say start there. Once you've maxed those out, the next step is to contribute to a self-employed retirement plan. And the two most popular are the SEP IRA and the solo 401k. And there's different rules for each. So again, I hate to keep saying this, but consult with your CPA to figure out which is best, because there's just so many nuances. Typically, solo 401ks, if you don't have any additional employees and it's just you and you're an S corporation, a solo 401k is going to be the route to go. If you're a single member LLC, probably the SEP IRA is the route. But just note with a SEP, like if you have employees, you potentially would have to contribute the same percentage to their retirement plans too. So sometimes it just doesn't make sense if you're trying to conserve cash, kind of thing. So again, a lot of nuances, but I say start by maximizing out a traditional or Roth and then start making contributions to a SEP or a solo 401k.
I love that. I think it just gives a really clear game plan for independent business owners, just for really just to start sitting down and looking like, okay, in terms of retirement, and also see that will benefit my taxes, this is the route that I'm going to go, or, you know, you can pick one or the other. And then once you maximize that, move on to the next. I think, again, just providing those steps, it doesn't make it feel as intimidating, because this, like I said, it's already such a stressful time. And like we always... it's every year. This comes up every year. And I'm like, I forgot everything I just learned last year. Like
I blocked it out. Don't want to think about it until next year.
But yes, but it's such a good reminder, again, of like just getting ahead of your finances, planning and getting organized right away, and just creating that game plan of what your financial goals are. So then you have a clear picture of like how you want to do your taxes, and also to like similarly of figuring out the correct business structure that works well for you, what type of retirement investments that you want to lean into. So all of this is super, super great. Can you share with us, and this isn't necessarily tax related, but the conversations were happening earlier this year, and I still think not a lot of business owners are fully aware of it, but can you talk with us about the Corporate Transparency Act and the Beneficial Ownership Act? Because I think it's something that's really important for business owners to know.
Yes. So what the government is trying to do, have you ever seen the show Ozark on Netflix?
I only saw the first season.
Okay. It is pretty like dark. So it's not like you want something lighthearted at the end of the day. I wouldn't suggest it. It's a great drama. But essentially, that show is all about money laundering. I mean, everyone's heard of like, like the mafia and having these like laundromats as fronts to like launder all of this money. This is essentially trying to prevent some of that by getting some transparency around who actually owns these LLCs and who's behind all of these shell companies that are, you know, buried 12, you know, subsidiaries deep, kind of thing. So what the IRS basically said is, if you are a LLC, S corporation, there's some exclusions. So like sole proprietors don't have to file this. General partnerships, most trusts, I think, don't have to file this. If you're publicly traded, you don't. And there's some other stipulations, but you have to file what's called the beneficial ownership information report. And essentially, all you're doing is reporting on who owns the business. So this just went into effect January 1st of this year, 2024. So if you were a business prior to that, so you were, you know, you registered for your LLC prior to that, you have until the end of this year to file that report. And I can send you, if you want, a link in the show notes, like where to file that. And yes. I have a full blog post on it as well. I'll send that to you just so that the information is there. But you have until the end of the year to file it. You can file it all online. You just have to have the owner's information, which if you're the sole owner, it makes it really easy. And if you registered your business, started your LLC this year, you essentially have like 90 days to do it. And then I think after a certain point, that turns into 30 days. So down the road, like essentially once you register, it's going to be kind of like another thing you have to add on to your list of when you start a new business of, okay, I'm going to register with my state. I'm going to get my EIN. I filed my BOI report kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just really getting transparency around who owns what so that they can prevent money being, you know, drug money being funneled through laundromats.
All I know is when I saw the potential repercussions, I said, oh,
yes,
say less.
Yeah, it's like a fine of $500 per day. You could get put in jail up to, what was it, like 2 years or 2 years. Yeah, it's like, okay, very, very simple way to avoid that. Just go online and file the report.
Yes. And I think, again, more business owners just need to be aware of it, especially if you own an LLC. Just add this to your daily usual checklist of, again, like whenever you have to renew, always just keeping track of those things. So,
and it should be something that you – it's like a one and done. So once you file it once, don't have to do it again.
Oh, great.
Yes. So it's really like you do it one time and then you shouldn't have to worry about it unless, again, they change the law down the road, which – who knows? They could do that. So,
well, then if you have not done this yet, listening, make sure you absolutely do that. We will have the blog post and we'll have the link of where you can do that so you can get that knocked out. And it's one less thing you have to worry about in regards to the long list of things that we have to do in order to keep our businesses running. So in terms of saving money for taxes, I think that's also a major pain point for business owners. I feel like a lot of us still just can never get it right. Like I just put it a large chunk. I just know some of us prefer to pay quarterly. Some of us prefer to pay yearly. I'm a quarterly type of girl, but how much should we be saving for taxes? What strategies do you have to where it just doesn't make it as stressful in terms of like how much we have to pay back? When do we pay it? Right. How much do we need to save? Right. All of that.
All that fun stuff. Yeah. So essentially, let's talk about when to pay it. So if you are going to owe roughly $1,000 at the end of the year in taxes from your business, and I typically say if you are earning $4,000 in profit, let's just assume that you're going to owe $1,000. That means that you are required to pay quarterly estimates. Otherwise, you're going to get hit with underpayment penalties at the end of the year. And we all just, you know, don't want to give the government more money than we absolutely have to. So quarterlies are due April, June, September, and January. You can pay those all online. Just Google, you know, pay federal estimates, pay your state estimates. You can find the links of where to pay those. So it's pretty simple. Now, in terms of how much to pay, that's always like the big question, right? So there's two ways to kind of go about this. One, you can do the safe, what they call the safe harbor method, which is essentially as long as you pay 100% of what you basically owed for the prior year. As long as you pay that in the current year, you're not going to get hit with underpayment penalties. Now, that's not to say that you're not going to owe more when you file your annual tax return or that you will overpay in your quarterlies. Because if you earn more or less than you did last year in your business, like that's going to make your tax liability fluctuate, right? So it's basically just saying you're not going to get hit with underpayment penalties. So you could do that. And those safe harbor estimates are typically generated with your prior year tax return. So if you have a CPA, like you can ask them for those. And then as long as you pay those amounts, no underpayment penalties. The other way is to kind of just, it all depends too on what type of structure you are. So if you're a single member LLC, I'd say you roughly want to pay 25 to 30% of your profit. So income minus expenses, 30% of that to the IRS just to be safe. That's probably conservative. And then do a rough estimate on like your state. You can look at your state tax return, see what the state tax rate is. Like in Indiana, it's roughly a little over 3%. So you can take like 3% if you were in Indiana times your profit again, and then pay that to the state. So it's not the be all end all. If you overpay, you will get the money back when you file your tax return at the end of the year. If you underpay, you'll just true up again when you file your taxes at the end of the year. So don't get like too stressed about it, but that's what I would go with. And another like quick tip that I like to tell people, if you're a sole proprietor, single member, and for some S corporations, if you're saving money each month for taxes, which I think you should be, like I put aside 10 to 15% of my like sales dollars into a tax savings account each month. So that when I have to pay my quarterlies, it's there and I don't have to stress about it. Put that in a high yield savings account so that while it's sitting there, it can be earning interest. I mean, interest right now on high yield savings accounts are like 4.5%. A standard business savings account is like 0.02. So think of it that way. You could be earning on $10,000. You could be earning $400 or like 20 cents. I don't know, whatever it is, $2, let's say. So if the money's just going to be sitting there, we might as well be earning some money on it. So
oh yeah,
that's what I would suggest. Like put your tax savings in a high yield savings account. Then when you have to pay your quarterlies, pay them out of there. Wait until like everything's trued up at the end of the year to see if you have to pay any more. And then if you have excess in there, great. Nice little bonus for yourself. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, love that. That is so, so helpful. I have absolutely loved this conversation because number one, it doesn't feel like a stressful burden after this conversation. I think, again, if we just sit down and really create a plan and just being consistent with our finances, always making sure to check in, updating receipts, those types of things, it can really make the tax process very smooth. And I just loved even the, just the tips that you just recently shared of like putting your tax savings in a high yield savings account, which is brilliant. Yes. So business owners, I hope you took note of that. I did. Yes. But this conversation has been wonderful. And if you are listening, I hope you feel just relieved, right? And just knowledge is power. So you feel like, okay, I have some of the tools I need to be able to move forward. And then, or if you want to continue the conversation with your CPA. So Brittany, the question I love to end with is, what do you think is the biggest differentiator between the businesses that succeed and the ones that fail?
I would have to say determination and persistence, because I think that entrepreneurs, you have to be hardy, right? Like you will get knocked down and you have to be able to pivot and to be persistent and continue to pursue. And I think that's what makes people successful, is like not giving up.
So true. That is, yes. I think as just to even add to that, I think as business owners, right, we get so, you know, we have these major milestones in our business where people are cheering us on and all of that stuff, which is amazing, right? That motivates us to keep going. Right. But the moment is like when those cheers stop, right? And then you're back in the mundane, the day-to-day pieces of your business.
Right.
How are you still showing up, right? Like those are the hard moments that I just think of my own experience as a business owner. So I love that. It's like keep showing up, being determined, persistent, consistency is key. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you so much, Brittany, for this conversation. I have loved every single second of it, which I'm shocked because taxes stress me out. So
it's no one's favorite subject.
It's no one. But it's key though for us and for business success. So thank you so much for that. So for our audience who wants to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So they can find me on Instagram at Brittany Settle CPA. And then you can also, you know, look at our website, kinesenco.com. But Instagram's really where I live. So if you want to reach out, you can find me there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brittany, for joining us. And if you are listening, until next time. That ends our episode of the Independent Business Podcast. Everything we've discussed today can be found at podcast.honeybook.com. Head to our website to access for show notes, relevant links, and all of the resources that you need to level up. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss our future content. Drop us a review and leave our guests some love on social. And thank you again for listening.